It's about reframing what you're saying to yourself and then giving you a tool to reinforce what you want to believe and what you want to make happen.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Erin Marcus. Here's three facts that I think you should know about her. One, a lot of her abilities to understand her clients and their businesses on a deeper level comes from her widely experienced background, and that includes growing up in Chicago public schools in the 70s and 80s. That must have been exciting, with students from 22 different countries. Two, her experience as a corporate C-suite level executive, and next, her MBA focused on marketing and executive leadership, and of course, her small business with not so small, 15 employees, and her more entrepreneurial endeavor, something more recent, now as a coach and consultant. That's all her background. There's a lot in that package. Second fact about Erin you should know is that apparently she has no attention span. I'm surprised she's still here.
Still here. I'm waiting. I'm good.
And she loves not just learning, but more specifically, the puzzle of business. And she thinks that the inherent drive is what has made her successful in her careers. Learn all the things and then apply them. Makes sense. And three, here's something else about Erin. Though she's not so active these days, however, for a good portion of her life, she has been involved in powerlifting, bodybuilding, and boxing since she was 19 years old. You don't mess with this lady. And it sounds even weirder when you think that back in the 80s, girls weren't doing that kind of stuff. No, not at all. And she doesn't look so intimidating. She's only 5 feet tall and most days weighs in at around 100 pounds. Erin Marcus, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you. I don't know if that makes me all sound very impressive or just kind of crazy. But it is what it is, right? It is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's you, it's unique, and I can tell you that I have never introduced anyone else like that in the past 3 years of this podcast.
You asked me for three facts. I'll give you three facts.
And that's terrific.
It can get weirder. Depends on what you want to know.
It probably could, yes. Yeah, we'll save that for later.
That's a different show. That's like a totally different
topic. Totally different. Erin, in your current business, the name is called Conquer Your Business, and you're in the marketing business, which is kind of a broad,
very broad,
broad stroke. There's a lot of people in the marketing business, different parts. First of all, I'm curious, the name Conquer Your Business. Why do you suggest that people need to conquer their business?
So that comes from a couple different things. One, I mean, let's face it, there's Chicago public schools in there. There's the bodybuilding, the powerlifting, and the boxing in there. My whole point of view, whether it's your business, your finances, your relationships, your health, your family, is that you need to be in charge of yourself. It's a different level of personal responsibility. One of the things I learned along the way is that if you don't make decisions for you, other people who are not vested in you get to decide what you have or don't have. And it doesn't make them right, wrong, bad, good. It's doctors and lawyers and they're not inherently bad, but they might not have the same desires that you do. They might not want the same things that you do. So when you combine this personal responsibility understanding to create your own life and everything you want in it, and you add in the juvenile linguistic background, you end up with some strong language. And the thing that I saw stopping most people is the lack of willingness to be in charge of their own lives in understanding it. So I choose strong language pretty intentionally, because when I'm trying to make something happen, I get real black and white about it. You know, the whole world's kind of gray, but there's a few times to get black and white about things. And you're either moving towards your goal or you're moving away from it. And the stronger language I surround myself with is occasionally a reminder to myself, even. What am I doing? And am I, you know, what do you want and how bad do you want it?
There's a lot of brilliant wisdom in there, Aaron. And I'm just going to pick on the last one you mentioned, is you're either moving towards your goal or away from it. And that's almost sounds like a test
that Absolutely. We
should apply to ourselves every day, a few times during the day.
I love that you said that, because I say this a lot and not many people pick up on it. What I try to do is create a series of litmus tests for myself, right? Very, very specific. It's either A or it's B, because we give ourselves wiggle room. We give our, when I, my corporate background and the first business I owned was all around working with families with aging parents and long-term care insurance. And one of the things that I learned being immersed in that world is soft language and euphemisms just give you an out, right? Soft language and euphemisms for the reality of your situation makes you think you have more time to take care of something, makes you think things might not be as hard as they are. And so to your point, it's a test. I use very bumpers in my gutters, strong litmus tests to set my stage for better decision making.
And that suggests that we need to be willing to make bad decisions and admit it.
Oh, I make tons. Oh my God. You can't screw things up more than I've screwed them up.
However, it's your decision and you can't sit back and say, well, it's not my fault. I tried and they didn't let me.
And I watched that play out over and over and over again, because the truth is there's a lot of things in, you know, just let's just keep in careers and business. There's so much that has to change. There's so much that has to change with discrimination and access and representation and opportunity. There is so much that has to change. However, you as one individual do not have time to sit back and wait for that change before you create the life you want for you. That type of systemic institutional change can take a while. Why would you wait for it? Why would you give that much power away by waiting for things to happen, waiting for change? And I know it's, you know, it's an outcome of different dynamics in our society. It's easier to blame other people than take responsibility. It's way, you know, the litigiousness of, if that's a word, is that it is now, of here in May. Right, the litigiousness, to repeat a potentially new word, of our society. Like, there's this thing we have done to create blame. And it doesn't have to be so myopic, right? It doesn't have to be you, whether or not this institution is right or wrong, doesn't mean that I don't have to take responsibility for myself.
You reach out to a prospect who looks like a perfect match for your business. You meet with them, you deliver a presentation, you provide a written proposal, and they don't take you. And what do? Cry?
You go for three more, right? You try. I'm a big fan of debrief. I analyze everything. This is, you know, we're, as we record this, we're coming, you know, we're into November, and there's a lot of people that are going to be doing their business planning. Business planning is something that happens daily, if not weekly, quarterly, monthly, every time you do something. Whether it goes well or doesn't go well, there should be an entire debriefing process around it, right? Where could I, and to your point with, do you cry over it? When I do my analyzing and tracking of everything, there's always a category, and it's just a gut instinct. It's not math, but you know it. If you're willing to have an honest conversation with yourself, you can do this. And it's literally, the column's just called feedback to self. And it's a column on my spreadsheet. There's how many people came and how many people bought and how many people didn't buy and how many emails we sent and how many posts we did and what our closing rates were and how many potential buying units and all the other fancy business terms. And then there's a column called feedback to self. What did I do well? And what did I not do so well? And that column is more important than anything else, as long as you're willing to be honest with yourself.
And I suppose a piece of that feedback to self might also include, of course, things beyond your control that worked in your favor or didn't.
Absolutely. Right. And what I am forever trying to do is not react to them, right? It's no reaction mode. Respond 100%, but not react. To me, the word react implies a lack of intention in what I'm doing, right? And I don't even want to say control, because that, to me, it has implications that I don't mean. Because you can't control every situation. You can't control almost any situation. But I can have intention. And so when things happen and don't happen, I want to know, what is my intentional response going to be? Not my knee-jerk reaction. And this is the difference between data-driven decisions and emotional reaction. Because we have good gut instincts, but your feelings will lie to you over and over and over again.
And Erin, as a marketer, you know that emotions drive a lot of our decisions, buying, not buy.
Yeah.
And yet what I'm hearing is we need to sometimes put those emotions in a box so that we can make a decent decision.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't remove the emotion. The awareness of the emotion doesn't remove. This is what I love about all of this. It's not tricky. It's not tricky. We're not trying to be manipulative. We're not trying to trick anyone. The last thing I want is to trick somebody into working with me, because that is just not going to go well. And then they're going to blame me when they don't do the work, right? So we don't need to go down that road. It's not about being tricky and being manipulative. It's about being aware and being intentional. Bottom line, every purchase, every buying decision we make is based on emotion and then justified with logic. And it doesn't mean that I'm removing the emotion. It means that I'm trying to be intentional about it. You know, I'll give you a crazy example. I live in the Chicago suburbs. I have a Mini Cooper with a turbo engine. Where am I going? This thing is so fast. like, it's more like, I like to laugh. I say it's more like flying a jet than driving a car. It's got the lights and the bells and the whistles, and I can change the colors of the interior lights, and I can open the roof, and I can go like Mach 3 down a highway. Where? Forget the law. The traffic is not going to allow this to happen. So I'm not kidding myself. I know that that's why I wanted it. And I just tell myself, I got a great deal on it. It gets magnificent gas mileage. And I go to the city all the time. I can park it anywhere. I literally park it in a motorcycle spot. Right. So that's an emotional-based decision justified with logic. I don't have to nobody has to trigger my emotion in order to get me to purchase something. You just have to acknowledge and speak to that emotion. And have it backed up in a logical way for people to be proud of, comfortable with, confident and excited about the emotional decision that they just made.
Erin, so that car obviously was an emotional purchase, but what I'm hearing is you're fully aware that it was and you're comfortable with that.
100%. It does get good gas mileage. I can park it anywhere. And by the way, we have a two-car garage, and then the other piece is really for a riding lawnmower. I park it over there. Nothing else is getting through that door. I fit it over in the corner.
And it's interesting. I heard a similar insight from my father the other day, and not that I think I get that many insights from him anymore, but I found this insightful for him because he was pointing out to me how he'd just gone grocery shopping and the deals he got. And he says, you know I don't have to shop for these deals, but it makes me feel good.
You feel good. It makes you feel good. It does, right? And from a marketing and strategy point, when I'm working with clients, you have to have both, right? You have to reach people on an emotional basis. I literally just went live today as we record this. I wrote a book called Connect as a Human First. It's an ebook. It's free. Just let me know. I'll send it to you. It's Connect as a Human First. And it's about how to create content, not just social media, but your 20-minute talks, your podcast interviews. Connect as a human first. So we need to make that emotional connection, but we also need the logic. You know, most of us work in what I call high ticket offers. I'm not the low cost leader of consulting. So there needs to be the logical backup for people that they know they're making a really good decision, getting the ROI. You know, that's where that crazy thing about my background, where it really connects, is I grew up very humanly connected, but the business experience, right now I can combine both of those.
Now I'm trying to figure out which gives you more scars, the human experience or the business experience?
Without the humans, the business would be so easy. It's the humans are the scars, right? We mess everything up. And it's interesting that you said that. So I'm putting this book together and I'm trying to create a conclusion. I'm like, okay, how do I wrap this up for people? There's two things that mess us up as humans that will mess up every decision you make, everything you buy, everything you spend your money on, and they will F everyone you date. Oh my God, everyone you date. And it's these two things, insecurity and desperation. If you are driven by either of those, and by the way, it doesn't have to be horrible insecurity or horrible desperation. Just a little bit will mess you up. But if you're, you know, going back to the fact that I work in marketing and I work in business strategy for growth. So we're talking a lot about go-to-market strategies. We're talking a lot about client-facing and audience growth activities. If you have insecurities, whether they're imposter syndrome, people won't like me, so-and-so is going to be mad at me, you are not going to do the things well enough to make a difference. And if it's desperation, where you're like, I need the money, then it's going to be brutally difficult to understand you need that your business is not about you. And so your marketing shouldn't be about you. And when you truly need the money, it's so much harder to do that. When you need to make the sale, it is hard to have a sales is of service conversation where you walk away from someone who's not the right fit for you, right? And it's right. This is why we date the wrong people. This is why we eat the wrong things. This is why we go for the get rich quick schemes on, you know, Bitcoin or whatever. I have no idea about any of that stuff, right? Like, it's insecurity and desperation will mess up every decision you like. And it's why, going back to your question about what's worse, the business or the people, as my business has iterated, I really added in a lot of that mindset work, or at least conversationally. Because what I figured out was I can create amazing business plans and amazing go-to-market strategies, but if you can't do the plan doesn't matter. It's also why I rally against these, just do this one thing. I call them insta-tactics, right? Just soon to be completely obsolete insta-tactics. They don't work because it never takes into account your strengths, your weaknesses, your business, your goals. What you'd rather, you know, have a stick in the eye than do, right? It doesn't take any of that into consideration. So the odds of it working for you are slim and none. And then you just feel worse because, you know, Instagram makes you think it's working for everybody else. So the little long-winded answer to your questions is it's the people, it's the humans that mess it all up. Myself included, by the way.
Erin, when your clients come to you looking for help with their marketing, how do you separate their logical needs from their emotional needs?
a million questions. It really is. You can't, this is the type of thing that's where I call myself a coach and a consultant, right? I say it's a consultant because 99% of the time I'm telling you what you need to do, and that's a consultant. But this is where the coaching comes in, because if I just tell you, do this, don't do that, and we don't have a conversation about what's going to mess that up, you might be able to do some of it, but it's not going to be as effective as if you get to the conclusion yourself about what's going to get in the way, right? So when I work with private clients and we do a VIP day and we reverse engineer the business, right? What are we creating? Always reverse engineered. What are we creating? Is it profitable? Is it scalable? What are the pieces that need to be in place? And then we go and we put a marketing plan in front of it, a client acquisition system in front of it, where we, now that we have that foundation, we can add in the messaging and the who are we trying to reach and all of the marketing pieces. The last session of the day is always, okay, what's going to mess this up? And I can tell when I'm working with somebody who really gets it and they've been around the block a couple of times, because they all understand the answer is them. Like, I don't have to say that to them. They understand enough about humans, themselves included, that self-awareness. This is why they say, you know, an entrepreneur, business ownership is the biggest self-help journey you can go on, because your business can't outgrow you. If you have done zero work in self-awareness and self-improvement, your business is going to struggle because of it. Because we're all too close to our own stories to see when we get in our own way. So there's always that component of conversation around what's going to mess this up so we can head it off. And half the time, it really is just reframing a thought and a tool. It doesn't have to take 10 years. It doesn't have to be, you know, lots of people cry, but you don't have to, I promise. Right? Like, it's about reframing what you're saying to yourself and then giving you a tool to reinforce what you want to believe and what you want to make happen.
What might that tool look like?
My favorite one, I do this almost every day, actually. My favorite one, and again, it takes a level of being willing to have an honest conversation with yourself. It's four questions. And the first one is, what do I want? Massive, massive clarity. This is not, you know, fluff. This is very, very specifically, I want to make $250,000 in the fourth quarter. Like, this is real specific, and I use these for short-term situations. This is not my cast, my vision, where do I want to be in 10 years? This is a much shorter term tool. So the first thing is, what do I want? Not even what do I want this year, because the human brain doesn't really know what to do with that. What do I want like in the next 90 days? And then the three questions, what do I have to do? Who do I have to be? And what do I have to believe? And this is not do this once and then read it. This is write this out every day, because the answers will surprise you. You'll get ideas under the what do I have to do. If you only do it once and then you read your answers for the rest of the quarter, there's no new ideas there. But if you write this out, you'll be amazed at the new ideas that pop in your head. What do I have to do? If I'm trying to make $250,000 contracted in the next 90 days, what do I need to do? And then you go look at your calendar. And if you're doing things other than that, you better get rid of some of them. And the who do I need to be? There's usually one base, the answer to this. A little more brave. A little more brave. I look at, that's one of my litmus tests. Where do I need to be a little bit more brave? Who do I need to be? How do I need to show up? I need to show up as a thought leader, not a vendor. I need to show up as a powerful business leader. I need to show up confident, right? Who do I need to be? And then the last question is, what do I need to believe? I need to believe that all past failures have nothing to do with future successes. I need to believe that it's possible. And I write this out when I'm, especially if I'm working on something particularly big, I will do this exercise every day.
And will you come up with different answers every day?
Every day, there's at least one different answer. I'll think of somebody that I didn't think of the other day to reach out to. I'll think of something that in my head I wanted to do next year, but why am I waiting? Let's just do it now.
What do I need to believe? Now, that's an interesting question that Gee, I don't know if I've ever asked myself that. I don't know.
What do you believe about the world around you? I believe the world is always working for me, not against me. That's a very big, you know, circling back to our conversation earlier with people being victims instead of responsible. You black and white. As soon as you think the world is happening to you instead of because of you, you're being a victim. Mm. So I'm very, it's sneaky. It's not, it doesn't have to be the wah, wah, wah version of victim. It can be a lot more nuanced than that, which is why it's so dangerous. It can be very nuanced and tricky, and you don't catch that you're actually acting the victim. So I get very black and white. Did this happen because of me, or did this happen to me? And as soon as I think something's happening to me, that's a wrong answer. I am not looking for that answer. So what did I do to create this situation? What can I do to change this situation? I can't change external, but I can show up differently. I can show up differently. I can hire a team member to take care of something that I'm spinning my wheels doing. I can, my favorite thing, don't spend a lot of time to do a bad job. It's something someone else can spend a short time doing a great job at.
Hmm. A lot to think about there, Erin. And I want to remind people about your ebook and
yes.
First Connect as a Human.
Connect as a Human First.
Ah, got it.
And as a Human First. Honestly, if you just find me on, just contact me through my website and I will absolutely get you a copy of it. It is a guide to creating compelling content. And that we are not talking social media. We're talking well beyond social media. How this is for connecting on podcasts when you're having conversations. It's for giving talks. It's, yes, it is for social media. It can even be in your sales conversations. Connect as a Human First.
Okay. And you can find the link to her website in the description below. It is conqueryourbusiness.com.
Yeah.
And follow up on that. There's a valuable message for there. Erin, as we get ready to wrap up, if you could sit down with a business leader, whether it's a company leader or a unit leader, and they're looking at the year ahead, and they're thinking of, I really would like to make that a better year than the past year, because the past year was okay, but we're not doing so good. If you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice on how they can head into that year as far as their approach and their actions, what might that be?
I'm going to assume, for the sake of ease here, we're not talking corporate, because that's a bit of a different animal, right? I come out of corporate, that's a bit of a different animal. But if you're under the 10 million mark, first of all, it has to be reverse engineered. It's amazing to me how many people don't know what they're building, and they only know a number. If I ask people what they want, they'll say $1 million, $5 million. Well, okay, you want $1 million business, that's great. But you can have $1 million business with 4 clients or $1 million business with 1 million clients. They're both $1 million, very different business. So number one is a lot more clarity around what it is you're trying to create. Step two is business gets complicated by default. It just does. Like, nothing good happens by accident. We get fat if we don't eat right on purpose. We get stiff and achy if we don't exercise on purpose. You ever notice that? Like, the good version of things doesn't happen without intention behind it, okay? So the other thing, if you want your year to be bigger, better, bolder than before, is simplify it. Simplify it. So clarity on what it is you actually want. Make it less complicated, not more complicated. And my last thing is always, you can have more than you think. Like, a 5% increase is boring. And this is where most entrepreneurs get themselves in trouble. Because as entrepreneurs, we're creators. And a lot of us will break things in order to create something new. A lot of us will give up on things that work really well in order to go play with the new shiny object. We're creators by nature. So be aware of that and then use it, because it's kind of like having a border collie as a pet. It looks all cute and fluffy, but if you don't keep it busy, it will ruin your house. It's the same thing. I'm the same way. If I'm not driving for bigger, better, more with intention, it'll happen by accident. That's never good. So go for more.
Valuable advice. And I'm going to cross that border collie off my...
Yeah. If you don't have work for a border collie, do not get... That dog needs a job. If you don't have a job for it, but that is not a cuddly couch potato.
My guest today is Erin Marcus, reminding you that you need to be in charge of yourself.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.